All right, you may be seated. I thought they had like something left in the tank. That's why I was like so slow to get up here. He just kept going. I thought, man, he's gonna bring some more to it. But it never came. Well, good morning, everyone. So glad that you are here with us today. Couple announcements for us. VBS is coming up. Live It Out is the theme that we're going with this year. It's going to be July 22nd through the 24th. The times are 6 to 7:30 p.m. We are going to learn to live and love like Jesus did. Now, you'll see they have a QR code there to be around. You can sign up online. We are open for registrations at this point, so obviously, you haven't registered yet, so go ahead. If you're coming, register your kids. And, should be a really good time. Following the end of VBS, we're going to have Christmas in July again. That'll be Friday, July 25th. Glow stick worship at 8 p.m. Outdoor movie at 9:30. And I don't believe we've picked a movie yet. Have we, Brent? Kind of. Oh, Sherry, right there. So we're kind of there. Okay. So it sounds like we have a half a movie. But don't worry, kids, we'll show you a full movie, I promise, okay? We are, again, providing free popcorn and bottled water. Bring a lawn chair. It will be down at the... Now, listen, I got to tell you guys something. Last week, I said it's going to be... the ice cream's going to be down at the lean-to, right? Everybody knows what a lean-to is, right? That's why I said it. After service, my wife came up to me and she said, you can't call it a lean-to. I'm like, why? It's lean-to. She's like, it just doesn't sound fun. Like who wants to gather at the lean-to, you know? And so I was like, okay, well, did you come up with a name? She's like, no, I didn't come up with a name. You have to come up with a name. So I'm taking suggestions of what we're going to call. Well, not right now. Trying to get rid of my sermon here. Gracious sakes. If you have suggestions, after service, didn't let me finish, after service, come find me. We'll figure out something fun to do with it. But yeah, my wife said we can't do that anymore. So if I can't do it, you can't do it either. Sorry. Clearly we see who runs this church. Okay, all right. I'm teasing. Let's jump into it. There's a lot going on in our world today, a lot. And so much more happened even this morning as I'm drinking my coffee and just kind of going through the news. There's a lot that's going on. And so today what we're talking about in this message is it's all about unity. And it's no accident that we find ourselves in this place in the book of Acts when we're talking about the church and unity and coming together. What a perfect time to talk about this. So I'm excited, and I know that God has laid this message for this church at this time. So we're going to be in Acts 10, starting at verse 44, if you want to open up your Bibles and go ahead and head there. So we've kind of progressed forward in the book of Acts. You know, we've talked about the very beginning when the Holy Spirit comes and kind of progressed our way. And we got to this point in Acts where I had to make a choice. There's like several conversion stories in like the middle of Acts, you know. You have the Ethiopian, you have the conversion of Saul to Paul. And then you have this conversion of Cornelius, the Roman centurion. And so I picked this one, not knowing it would be so relevant for us today. But I picked it because I wanted to kind of talk about the unity of the church and us just, I mean, let's be honest, us just really starting to get to know each other. Like, I'm still pretty new, okay? And so what I wanted to do was just kind of come together and talk about what does unity look like in a church community. And so that's where we're going to kind of go today. Acts 10, starting at verse 44. Even as Peter was saying these things, the Holy Spirit fell upon all who were listening to the message. The Jewish believers who came with Peter were amazed that the gift of the Holy Spirit had been poured out to the Gentiles too. For they heard them speaking in other tongues and praising God. Then Peter asked, "Can anyone object to their being baptized now that they have received the Holy Spirit?" Listen to this part. "Just as we did." So he gave orders for them to be baptized in the name of Jesus Christ. Afterwards, Cornelius asked him to stay with them several days. This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God. Let's pray together. Heavenly Father, we come before you now, and we're asking that your Spirit would be upon us today, that we would invite you into this place. And Lord, as we gather together as a church community, we pray that we would be focused on your Spirit and your truth, that whenever it is that I mess something up, that you would clean it up in the ears of the people. Lord, allow your Spirit to work in us now with everything else that's going on around us. And it would be so easy to be distracted with all that. Lord, I pray that as we are together today, as we are together right now, let us be here, let us be present, and let us be focused on you. In Jesus' name, and everyone said, amen. I need to tell you a story, and you're actually going to meet this individual in a couple weeks. So one of my mentors, his name's Pastor Wayne, he'll actually be here in a couple weeks to preach while I'm gone on vacation. He's from South Africa. And so when I first met him, I couldn't understand a word he said. So you're really going to have to listen that day, okay? Really listen. But he's so wise and loving and generous and all these things. But when I first met him, he has this perspective about Christianity that I don't have, right? Like, I'll admit it. My perspective on Christianity is pretty narrow before meeting Pastor Wayne. I only had the experience of the American Western Christian worldview, coming from America in a place where I can freely go to church, sit down, not worry about anything else. Like, I had this perspective of Christianity just kind of coming in, going out, like all these things. I could even go to any church that I wanted to go to. Like, that's available for us. And so after I met Pastor Wayne, he's like, that's not how it is around the world. I'm like, what do you mean? Like, I mean, I understood there was persecution around the world, but I'm like, what does it all mean? Like, he has this worldview of Christianity that opened my eyes to just how big and how global the church actually is, because I had this very narrow view. When I was down in Nicaragua with him, and we were hanging out at the church, the Wesleyan church down there, like, it's, to call it a building is generous. But they meet together in one place, gathered around Christ, focused on him, and worship him. So I pray that, like, we don't ever take for granted the opportunity that we have in this country to come and worship in a place like this. Like, this is pretty amazing. And then this is just a side note. I don't know why I'm going to say this story, but I just am. I was talking to him one day, and I think it was something about, like, I wasn't going to eat lunch that day. I think that's what it was. Like, I had breakfast. I'm like, I'm not going to eat lunch today. I'm just going to have to wait until dinner. And he looks at me. He's like, "You Americans." I'm like, "Oh, great. Where is this going?" He's like, "You Americans always think you need 3 meals a day." He's like, "Most people around the world are lucky to get 1 meal a day. And you think that you need 3 meals a day." Again, like, opening my eyes to this worldview that I've always had 3 meals. Like, You know, how many of us have had three meals a day? Like, that's been, like, ingrained in us. Six of you, okay. I think the rest of you are lying. We're in church, okay? So just be honest. Why am I saying all this? It's because what God said he was going to do in Acts, the very beginning of Acts, right? Acts 1, verse 8, that he was going to take it to the ends of the earth. That's what happened with the Christianity movement. The Jesus movement has reached a point where it is a global movement. Like everyone, almost everyone knows who Jesus is. Like he did what he said he was going to do. And so where we're going today is like we're at that pinnacle moment where it's starting to spread out. And it's no longer a single faith of Jewish people, of Jewish believers who began to believe in Christ. It's beginning to spread to everyone else. And so that's where we are today. Acts 10, verse 1. In Caesarea, there lived a Roman army officer named Cornelius, who was a captain of the Italian regiment. He was a devout, God-fearing man, as was everyone in his household. He gave generously to the poor, prayed regularly to God. One afternoon, about 3 o'clock, he had a vision in which he saw an angel of God coming towards him. Cornelius, the angel said. Cornelius stared at him in terror. What is it, sir? He asked the angel. And the angel replied, your prayers and gifts to the poor have been received by God as an offering. Now send some men to Joppa and summon a man named Simon Peter. He is staying with Simon, a tanner who lives near the seashore. As soon as the angel was gone, Cornelius called two of his household servants and a devout soldier, one of his personal attendants. He told them what had happened and sent them off to Joppa. Our first point is this: the Spirit was already in the room. The Spirit was already in the room. Now, if we go back to verse 1, we got to figure out who Cornelius is. That's a good place that we need to start. And somebody that converted to Judaism, like they would have went through all the steps, including circumcision. Like that would have happened if they were converting to Judaism. Cornelius isn't that. He hasn't completely converted to Judaism, but as we can see from the text, he is someone who knows about God, follows him, understands his teaching a bit, and is hungry to learn more about God. And Cornelius was a captain, a centurion, as some other versions put it, which means that he was in charge of 100 men, right? So we get our word century from centurion. So he was an important person in the Roman Empire. And even this important person who oversees 100 men, God was already working in his life. Like he was beginning to explore what this Jewish God was about. He was trying to understand all these things. And so he was following him, he was reading the word. He was praying regularly and he was giving money to the poor. And so when this moment happens, when the Spirit comes to visit Cornelius, like God had already been working in his life. And we talked a few weeks ago, maybe it was a little bit longer than that, about prevenient grace, where God is already working in those who don't yet believe in Jesus. Like that is what's happening to Cornelius. He's starting to explore. He's starting to try to understand what's going on. That's because God's grace is already in the room working. I want to read from Acts 8, starting at verse 30. Philip ran over and heard a man reading from the prophet Isaiah. Philip asked, "Do you understand what you are reading?" And this is the eunuch. The man replied, "How can I unless someone instructs me?" And he urged Philip to come inside his carriage and sit with him. So this is a short section of the story about Philip and the Ethiopian eunuch, where he's riding along and Philip sees the carriage and he has a vision. All these are kind of similar. He has a vision to go over to the carriage and talk to this man. And through their conversation, Philip helps him understand, you know, what he's reading, baptizes him. Then Philip disappears and ends up somewhere else. Different story for a different time. Not enough time today. Okay. But all these like conversion stories are very similar. Like there's a vision from God. But why I wanted to pull this into the message today was God was already working in that carriage. Like this man was reading from the prophet Isaiah, what we call the book of Isaiah. Yet he did not understand what he was reading. Like, how does this happen? Most people who don't want to know about God don't pick up this book and start reading. So God was already working in both of these cases. And so we have to understand that wherever we go, whatever we do, like God is already in the room and working. And we are not the ones that is providing the effort for that. Like God is in the room there already. We're just participating in what God is doing in the world. Like, do we understand that part? Like, we're not directing the steps of God. Like, our prayers don't direct the steps of God. Like, we are participating in His story. And we are so lucky to participate in that story. Amen? Right, right. Let's move a little bit further. Acts 10, starting at verse 9. Now, this is where the story starts to get a little crazy, all right? I mean, that first part with Cornelius, we see that the angel comes, and we're pretty used to this, right? We're used to angels coming to people and talking. But now we're going to get to this place where we get into the vision, where Peter goes into a trance and has this wild vision. So let's get into it. Verse 9. The next day, as Cornelius's messengers were nearing the town, Peter went up to the flat roof to pray. It was about noon, and he was hungry. But while a meal was being prepared, he fell into a trance. He saw the sky open, and something like a large sheet was let down by its four corners. In the sheet were all sorts of animals, reptiles, and birds. Then a voice said to him, "Get up, Peter, kill, and eat them." "No, Lord," Peter declared, "I have never eaten anything that our Jewish laws have declared impure and unclean." But the voice spoke again, "Do not call something unclean if God has made it clean." The same vision was repeated three times. Then the sheet was suddenly pulled up to heaven. Our next point is this: the Spirit speaks across the lines that we draw. So Peter's at the rooftop, common place to pray. It's about noon. He's hungry. And what does God do? He gives him a vision of food. Like, if you guys don't think God has a sense of humor, I don't know what book you're reading. Okay? Because that is like one of the cruelest things you can do is give this man who is hungry a vision of food. Not only that, it's a vision of food that he wouldn't normally eat. No, you're not tracking? I think it's hilarious. You are. Well, I heard one person is. Okay, that's good. But why did God do this, right? Like, let's move beyond that was saying that Peter, like if you ever go back and really read the book of Leviticus, you will see how strict their diet laws were. And so Peter in this trance, like has anyone ever been like hangry? Nobody. One, thank you. Two, all right. Three, four. Why are you guys not raising your hands? I don't feel like you're being honest today.
I raised my hand.
Thank you. I appreciate that. So you ever have these moments where you're like hungry and you're like feel like you're in this trance and you're angry? Like, this is where Peter's at. And a funny note, and this is kind of to go with what we were talking about last week, is Peter's having this moment of prayer, right? Like he goes up to the top of the roof to pray. And how easily does he get distracted? Remember, we talked about this last week. How easily does he get distracted in this moment to say, I'm praying, and then, oh, I'm hungry, right? Yeah, I told you I had a special moment for you. How easily do we get distracted in those moments? And God, who sends this vision to Peter, and it has all these animals that they can't eat, and he sends it down. And Peter declares, Lord, I would never eat any of those. But God told him to eat them. He said, I would never eat any of those. And here's the important part. It's verse 15. But the voice spoke again, do not call something unclean if God has made it clean. And so very clearly right here, God is saying that everything that Jesus taught you with, by the way, Jesus already said, I am the fulfillment of the Old Testament and I'm making something new, right? Like Peter knew this, but God is declaring again that everything that you knew is changing. So your old Jewish ways, everything that you followed, I am the fulfillment of that and I'm making a new covenant. And this covenant is not just for the Jewish people, it's for the entire world. And so through this hunger dream that Peter has, God is showing him a picture of what the church is going to look like in the future. And just to add to like the funniness of God, he did it three times. Nothing still? You guys don't think that's funny? This man's hungry and God did it three times. Okay, all right. Wow, you guys are really stiff today. I'm just going to say it. I'm happy you're here, but stiff. And I'm going to use a sports term here, so hopefully I don't like alienate everybody, but whatever. Anyways, so on the football field, There's people on the field, and then you have the press box, and coaches are in the press box, and they're overseeing everything. So maybe this will lighten you up a little bit. Maybe you'll understand a little bit more. So on the football field, you might be running a play, and it's going really well. Things are going great. It's perfect. Then you call that same play again, and then somebody from the press box calls down one of the coaches and says, you need to make an audible. It's not working. This play's not going to work. I've noticed a few things that are happening. You need to go ahead and switch the play to something different. And this is what God is doing. He's noticing that everything that's going on, like the Jewish faith was going well. Everything was going good. It had its ups and downs, but it was going well. So God from the press box is calling an audible to say, let's do something different because I want to take my message to everyone. And so basically, what Peter is getting is the audible call from God. He's saying, everything that you knew before, we're going to go ahead and change it, and we're going to start doing this. And so this is what Peter is tasked with, is to take this message. And if you didn't know, this is a conversion story of Peter as well, right? So everything that Peter knew, God was basically saying, no, I mean, I know you kind of already know it, but I'm going to go ahead and change it all. And so oftentimes people don't realize this is a conversion story of Peter as well. Move a little bit further. We're going to jump around a little bit here. Acts 10, verse 17. Peter was very perplexed. What could the vision mean? Just then, men sent by Cornelius found Simon's house standing outside the gate. Jump ahead to verse 23. So Peter invited the men to stay for the night. The next day he went with them, accompanied by some of the brothers from Joppa. Verse 25, as Peter entered his home, Cornelius fell to his feet and worshiped him. Verse 28, Peter told them, you know it is against our laws for a Jewish man to enter a Gentile home like this or to associate with you. But God has shown me that I should no longer think of anyone as impure or unclean. Our next point is this. If Jesus died for all, no one is off limits. You have to put that first part in. If we believe that Jesus died for all, then no one is off limits. Now we read this story and it doesn't wreck our worldview. Like we're like, of course Peter went in. God told him to go in. It's not that simple. Like Peter walking into the house of the Gentile and associating with him, this was a complete change of his worldview, how he viewed the world, how he understood the world, how he, like everything that Peter knew about it was changing today. This is not something a Jewish man would do. He would not go hang out at the house of a Gentile. And oftentimes we just like brush past this part. Like this is a key part of this story. For Peter to do this, he is saying, God, this is completely wrecking my worldview, but I trust you. I trust what you're saying to me. I believe everything you're saying to me is truth, and I'm going to follow you. Even though everything I know, everything I've done to this point to get here, you're completely changing it. So Peter, in this moment, is saying, yes, God, I trust you, I know you, and I know where you're leading me. So Peter had this mindset right then and there that if Jesus was who he said he was and he died for everyone, then the message of God is for everyone. Like Peter got that in this very moment. And so for us, we have to ask ourselves, if Jesus died for everyone, no one is off limits, right? Have you been praying for Iran? Have you? Have you been praying for Hamas? Like, that's what this question is asking right here. And it's a very difficult thing to walk through. I know I find myself in my prayer time going, Lord, I don't want to pray for them. I don't want to pray for my enemies. Why would I want to do that? And the easy answer is to say, well, God said so. Yes, I get that. God said it. Jesus told us that we are to pray for our enemies, but we are in the same spot that Peter is. Lord, this is my worldview. This is what I understand. How do you want me to pray for them? You want to know a little secret? You can't do it on your own. You just can't. Because every time that I'm in my prayer moments and I get to that point where I'm praying for my enemies, it's, Lord, I don't want to. And my humanness will not allow me to do it. My sinful, broken human nature will not allow me to do it. And it is by the Holy Spirit that I'm able to. Only by His Spirit. If we are left to our own nature, we cannot do anything. Our nature is sinful. And only when we allow the Holy Spirit in our lives, as Peter did in this moment, to walk into Cornelius' house, only in those moments can we take our entire worldview and say, this is what I know, but I'm trusting you. This is what's comfortable to me, Lord, but I'm trusting you. Like we don't get to that place on our own. It's only through the Holy Spirit. Read a little bit further. Acts 10:33. So I sent you at once and it was good for you to come. Now we are all here waiting before God to hear the message the Lord has given you. Then Peter replied, I see very clearly that God shows no favoritism. In every nation, he accepts those who fear him and do what is right. Our next point is this. Grace travels further than we think. Grace travels further than we think. Why is it that oftentimes we limit God, or we limit the Spirit? We limit the amount of power that the Spirit has in our lives. That we read stories like this and we say, wow, this is amazing. God sent this wonderful vision and this trance, and Peter had this miraculous moment where he's completely transformed. But then we get to our own lives and we're just like, well, it's not that miraculous, right? Like, we often degrade the Spirit to a place where we don't think that it can empower us and move us forward. We often limit the Spirit and its profound effect that it has on our lives. And if we're honest with ourselves, I think it's we limit it because we don't completely trust it. Right? Am I the only one that feels that? I'll say it. Sometimes I don't trust the Spirit. Sometimes I take it on my own. I'm willing to admit that in front of everyone here today. But I suspect there are moments in your life as well where you don't trust the Spirit. And you rely on your own understanding. Just a guess. Not pointing anyone out except for myself. But I'll gladly say it. Why do we limit the Spirit? We read all these stories of how God's Spirit is moving and working. And then we're just like, nah, I got this. Just hang out over there, God. I got this. Like, seriously? Peter could have easily ignored this and said, I got this. But he said, Lord, I trust you. You've walked with me this far. You're going to continue to walk with me. I know you're wrecking everything I know, but I trust you. And I'm going to walk with you. I want to ask you this question. Who is the Spirit asking you to see differently today? It's not often that the Lord just like, I don't know how else to describe it except for like he stamped it on my head. Does that make sense? Like I was like in my prayer time and I felt like God gave me this word and it was just like, did anyone ever have that feeling before? One, okay, two. Man, you guys are still so stiff. Five, six. Nobody's raising their hand. I'm just counting right now. But no one can tell because you're all looking this way. I had this moment where I was in my prayer time and I was getting ready for this message. And I wasn't even planning on going here at the end, but this is kind of where God led me. And the word that he put on my heart was preference. Very clearly, very distinctly, the word preference. And then I kind of sat there for a little bit. I was like, okay, preference, huh? And then I'm like wondering, like, where's the trance and the sheet? Like, where, are you going to like help decode this for me or what? The early church struggled with Judaism and Gentiles. Like, that was a big thing with them. Like, so much so that after this moment, Peter has to explain his actions in chapter 11 to the church. Like, they're like, did you like go in the house? Like, what were you doing, Peter? And so Peter runs down the whole story again for him. It was so much a big deal that in chapter 15, they have like a council where they just finally have to decide on the circumcision thing and the food thing and the blood thing. Like, all this has to get worked out for the early church. Now, in our church, we don't have like dietary laws that we have to follow. But I believe what the Lord was giving me was the word preference. Because oftentimes in a church, what causes division is preference. And it's our own personal preference that causes the issues. When they made the change from old hymns to more contemporary Christian songs, what did the people on the hymn side say? That's not my music. That's not my music. This is my music. And the people over here said, I don't even know what that music is. This is my music. It wasn't a difference of theological understanding. What was it? It was preference. I don't like this carpet. It doesn't really match my eyes. Sean, we're going to have to take this carpet out. I can't preach on carpet like this. That would be a preference, right? Do you want me to stop or can I keep going? I don't think. Oh, you want to come up with another one? I wasn't prepared after that. These chairs. Gray chairs? I mean, come on. That's so 80s. Who said they're blue? Those Michigan fans, I can't preach here. They're just unbearable. Malachi. But it's all about preference. The sanctuary is too hot. I can't worship in there. Or why do they always turn the air conditioner on? It's so cold in there. The lights are too bright. The speakers are too loud. They're too low. All of these are preferences. And it has nothing to do with unity in the church. The only thing it has to do with is disunity in the church. So church, I'm asking that we take a little perspective as we view this story of Peter and Cornelius, and we see how if Jesus died on the cross for everyone, then it is available for everyone. Regardless of our preference of what we like, as we've mentioned several times before, the world outside of these walls is pretty crazy. And it's not slowing down. And the point of what we do here on Sunday is to come together as a community with unity to celebrate and worship the one who died for everyone. That's why we come here. We don't come here because we like the carpet. We don't come here because we like the chairs. And I know you don't come here because you like the pastor, okay? I got it. And I'm fine with that. I hope you are here because you want to worship Jesus. That everything else we can figure out, that we can come together as a community to say that this message is for everyone. That maybe someone who walks in and doesn't check all the boxes of what we think a follower of Christ should be, that they would be welcomed in a loving and kind and caring and compassionate way. Io. Let us pray. I'm just kidding. That was very accepting. Thank you. And it threw me off. That doesn't happen often. Thank you. I never thought in my entire life that I would hear that in this church. But if we can come together as a church community to say all these things don't matter, what matters is Jesus. Like if someone were to come in and sit in your seat, like would that make you upset? You guys sit in the same seats every week. What if somebody was there when you came in? Well, those people are in my seat. Don't they know I sit there every week? I'm going to have a meeting with Pastor. I got to talk to him. These newbies can't be sitting in my seat. Like these are all just like small detail things that don't matter in the grand scheme of eternity. I would hope in that situation you would sit next to him and say, hey, how you doing? Welcome to church. Next week, sit over there. I'm just kidding. Don't say that. Don't say that. Don't. That was a joke. We'd love to sit with you. We'd love to hang out with you. Small details are so insignificant when we're talking about eternity. I was listening to another pastor. So Devin, I listen to other pastors as well. I only listen to myself. That's weird. But I'll do it just for you. I was listening. It was actually my former senior pastor at my last church. And he was having this conversation. This is what reminded me of the hymns versus the contemporary Christian music. Is because before I got there, at this point, they had a traditional service that talked about singing hymns and more traditional music. And then they had a contemporary worship service where they had the electric guitar and the music playing and all that kind of stuff. And he reminded me of this was, it all started out great, and then guess what happened? Everyone stopped coming here to the traditional hymn-focused worship. And so he asked, and they were an older generation. He asked them, he said, why aren't you going to the traditional service? Like I created this for you, like so you could have it. Their preference changed. You know what their preference was? I want to see my kids and my grandkids come to Christ. So we go to the contemporary service to be with them. Their preference changed in that moment. It was no longer about the style of music. It was about the salvation of their family. That's where the importance is. So with everything else going on in this world, let us focus on not the world around us. Let us come together as a community and be focused on Jesus. Let the details work themselves out. But let us be a community that is centered around Jesus, empowered by the Holy Spirit. Would you stand with me? Let us pray together. Heavenly Father, Lord, I was just so thankful this week that you revealed to me this word, preference. I can sometimes myself get caught up in this and even the littlest details of church life. Lord, I pray that we as a community would be focused on you. that every other distraction would be out of our mind. That it would not be important of what the little details are, but that we are gathered as a community around you. That we are focused on your son, Jesus. Because we believe that Jesus died on the cross for everyone. So your message is available for everyone. Let us not stand in the way of your spirit. Let us not hinder your spirit. Let us not lean on our own understanding, Lord. Instead, let us be empowered by you. Let us come together to worship you, to glorify you, and to head out into the world, into your mission field, to tell every single person we know about the love that you've given us. We love you. We praise you. In Jesus' name. And everyone said, amen. When Peter is reporting back to the church of everything that the Holy Spirit was doing with the Gentiles, this is what he said. As he began to speak, Peter continued, "The Holy Spirit fell on them just as it fell on us in the beginning. Then I thought of the Lord's word when he said, 'John baptized with water, but you will be baptized with the Holy Spirit.'" And listen to this last one. "And since God gave these Gentiles the same gift he gave us when we believed in the Lord Jesus Christ, who was I to stand in God's way?" Who am I to stand in God's way? Don't let our preference get in the way of what God is doing in this community. I believe great things are coming from this community. And who am I to stand in the way of what God is doing? Thank you guys so much. You are blessed, and we'll see you next week.